Now remember, kids, this is just a drill.
Those were the words that my kindergarten teacher spoke to our class for our very first fire drill. And I remember them so well because I remember thinking, there's no way things would be this organized if the building was burning down. All right, we're just all going to line up and we're going to walk out inside. And we're going to turn around and we're going to watch the building burn down. There it goes. Bye-bye, school. Bye-bye, school. And you practice fire drills, right? You go through them a couple times at school and you do the same things. And since that day in kindergarten, I have always had that thought. What would people do in the event of an actual fire? Like, I would size up people in my class like, Timmy, if it's you or me, that's going to be me. I'll run you over. And so I've had this lifelong dream to be involved in an actual fire drill, like a fire evacuation. And I'm happy to say that recently, my dream came true. Here's how it happened. I'm at the grocery store, and I'm shopping. And I take a long time to shop, because when my wife gives me a grocery list, she has a lot of very adult, responsible things on that list. Things like celery and kale. What is kale? Why is this a thing now? You know, when I was young, we used to go out to eat at Golden Corral. See your doctors. All you people are like, I love Golden Corral. Just see a doctor. And up, like, until the kale craze, buffets like Golden Corral used to be the largest purchasers of kale. Because they used it to line their buffets as a decoration. That's true. And I'd ask my mom, I'd be like, Mom, can I eat some of that lettuce? And she'd be like, no, absolutely not. It's poisonous. So I've grown up my whole life thinking kale will kill you. And then a couple years ago, they're like, it's a superfood. I don't believe that. I'm not on board with that. So we've got to balance out this whole thing. As I'm going through the list, I'm like, healthy, healthy, healthy. So I got to find things that, you know, restore order to it. So I see kale and I buy Lucky Charms. I see celery and I'm buying like fruit snacks. I just want to keep everything in check, you know, get some frozen pizzas. I realize that I do need to make some adult decisions. So I'm like, we need some protein. So I go buy bacon. Mm-hmm. I have a really great bacon and kale recipe. I like omit the kale. It's awesome. I'll give it to you guys later. It's amazing. Your friends are just going to love it. So I'm out trying to balance the list. So it takes me a long time trying to rectify her responsibility with my childishness. And as I'm going through the store, I get back by the bacon, and I'm in like that deli section. There's the weird butcher guy behind the counter, and there's an older lady ordering some steaks as I'm choosing bacon options. And I start to think, oh, I should get a steak too. That seems adult. Get a big hunk of meat. So as I'm picking up steaks now to look at them, I hear this beeping, and there's a flashing light, and I realize this is it. This is a fire. And I'm giddy, not realizing that I don't know if this is like a real fire or a drill. At any moment, like, the building could come crashing down on all of us, and I'd be holding a steak. And actually, if that happened, though, wouldn't it be sweet if, like, you know, the firefighters found you, like, just me holding this steak, and then one of them was like, guess you ordered that well done, huh? No, too soon? Too soon? Sorry. So I'm like, this is it. I'm finally going to get to see what people do when they're evacuated from a building because of a fire. How do people respond? And here's what they do. Ready? Grocery store full of people. It's a Sunday. Everybody's out. Nothing. Nobody moved. Everyone started to have this internal, they're like looking in their carts like, I bought a lot of food though. I don't know that I want to leave that here. Even I'm like thinking, again, like imminent death. And I'm thinking, man, it took me a really long time to shop for some of this stuff. Do I really want to leave it here? The lady at the butcher counter looks at the butcher who's like, all right, we got to leave. Y'all have to leave the building. And she goes, can I still get my steaks? And he looks at her and he goes, ma'am, this is not a drill. There's an old legend that four devils came to Satan because he called them forward to ask them to come up with a lie that would deceive the entire world. And the first devil approaches Satan and says, tell the people there's no God. And the devil says, yeah, but creation thunders the creator. It echoes the goodness of God. We could tell people there's no God, but there will always be those who believe because God created the heavens and the earth, and they'll always point back to him. You can't erase the longing for the creator that every person's been given. That lie won't work. So the second demon says, well, tell them there's no hope. And Satan says, yeah, but even in the midst of great tragedy and trial, God empowers humanity to do great things, to act with great love and great valor and great courage. We could maybe wipe out some hope, but never all of it. The third demon steps up and says, what if we created kale? And Satan was like, kale sucks, no. No. And then the fourth demon says, what if you told them they could start tomorrow? And Satan said, that's the lie. We'll tell them they can start tomorrow. As I think back to that experience in the grocery store, it's incredible the lack of immediacy we have when it comes to life and death decisions. Oh, we're real quick when it comes to stupid things. We all do the dance in our seat when we feel our cell phone buzz, like, bzz, bzz, I need to check that. I gotta check my phone, but I can't right now in class. How do I do that? Middle schoolers are incredible. I was once talking to a girl, and we're having a conversation. I did middle school ministry for a while, and I have time off purgatory for that, actually. I will go to heaven quicker than all of you because I served at many middle school lock-ins. And I'm talking to this, we're just having a normal conversation, and suddenly I hear like the signature cell phone buzz, and in the middle of our conversation, no joke, like a ninja, she flips up her foot like this and goes, and pulls a cell phone out of her boot. And like texts somebody and puts it back in there. I'm like, what just happened? She's like, I got a text from my bestie. I'm like, sweet Jesus, you should be a Navy SEAL. Your reflexes are insane. Or like this, you know, have you ever had a friend do one of these things? Hey, we need to talk. And you're like, yeah, can we talk right now? Right now? Like, I'm not doing anything. Can we talk immediately, like right away? No, like tomorrow. No. I have to know. Or you text somebody and they're like not texting you back for 20 seconds, and you're like, we're not friends anymore. As soon as you see the text, you reply me. I need those like three dots so I know. Someone in the back just got that it was a Drake song. They were like, oh, that's Drake. They were like, oh, pop culture. We want the immediate thing and we want to act like now, right? I want to know where I'm going to go to college now. Why can't they tell me where I'm going to go now? I need you to text back to me now. I want to know what's going on in the world now. But when it comes to life and death, a building that's burning down, we're like, I don't know. I'm skeptical. Is it really, though? I have all this stuff. I don't want to be inconvenienced. You know, when you leave here, that's going to be the challenge that you have. Because that lie that the devil tells us is so real. You can start tomorrow. In fact, some of you are maybe even thinking it now. You're like, oh, this is our last day at Steubenville. And then I'm really going to start living my faith tomorrow because, like, here, you know, like, it's Steubenville. And so it all kind of works. We bang on chairs. We, like, are like, you're my joy. We have T-shirts. They play Oceans. I cry. It's really great. It's amazing. And so, like, tomorrow, I'm really going to get started. Until you get home tomorrow and, like, you're exhausted because you've slept a total of 2.5 hours here all weekend. You're like, yeah, is this just a dream still? I don't even know. And you sleep in a little late. And then your mom or your dad is like, hey, you're sleeping in too late. We have stuff that we need to do. And then you get angry, so you have a fight. And then your mom, your dad, like, your brother, your sister, they're like, wow, I guess you learned a lot at church camp, huh? This is the attitude you come home with. And then maybe Monday just sucks. You're like, that's fine. I'll start living as a disciple tomorrow. Today's a free day. I have a bye. A bye from discipleship. And then we meet up with our boyfriend or our girlfriend. And maybe we screw up a little bit. We're like, I'm going to go break up with them. And that's not what happens. I'll start tomorrow. I'll start fresh tomorrow. You see, here's the thing, my friends, is that your walk of faith in today's world demands an immediate response from you. Because every single day, Jesus is asking us to do something great and wants to take us on an adventure. Because every day, God is wanting to offer us this living water, this thing that we long for, this thing that's so necessary for our life as Christians and as Catholics. And too often we're like, not right now, like I'm a little bit busy. Or maybe this is like your one time of the year that you really live like outwardly as a Catholic and as a Christian, because you're like, I'm busy in high school and I'll start when I'm in college. I'll go to a Catholic college, I'll go to Franciscan University at Steubenville, and then I'll really be able to live my faith. But you don't know what it's like in my high school, it's so hard. If I pray over my lunch, like, an atheist will pop out and get me expelled from school. Like, the moment that I do this, they're going to hop out of the bushes and be like, ha-ha! You're going to get expelled, Christian! You and your holy food! Like, we laugh, but, like, right? I've had so many teenagers come up to me and say, I can't pray in school. They'll kick me out. That's a lie. But isn't it a comfortable lie? Because then it prevents us from having to really, like, live our faith. It prevents us from having to do something. And I just don't get why. On Friday night, Matt talked about this longing and this thirst that we have. And we fill it up with so many other things. And we direct that longing and that thirst to so many other things that never satisfy. Matt moved out of the desert, and then I moved there. I live in Phoenix. And do you know what happens when you throw water on the desert ground? It sucks it up immediately. And for a lot of us, we've come in as that parched ground to this weekend, broken from things that haven't satisfied us, from longings that have been misdirected, and we're cracked, we're desert. And we come here and God pours out this living water on us through worship, through adoration, through mass. And we get some of this water. But as parched ground, you've absorbed that and you've sucked that up. But then it's foolish to go out and be like, until next year. I'll go to confession next year. I'll really pray and live my faith next year. It's just that lie. I'll start tomorrow. And then we go back to all of those longings that Matt talked about, which ultimately break us and don't satisfy. And then we learned last night about the lengths that God goes to pour out this water on us, this living water, that God thirsts for us. Katie talked about this abundant, perfect, infinite love that Jesus pours out on the cross, that we don't have to be this parched, dry land that's just absorbing water, that God can pour out this water on us always, that we can be made new, that we can be beautiful, that we can be alive. But today we have to leave. And I pray that you don't leave it here. Now here's the incredible thing. You don't get to go home alone if you don't want to. I'm not talking about, you know, packing up, you know, Adam with some beard oil and like bringing him home with you just so he stays, you know, moisturized. I'm talking about leaving with a person. I'm talking about leaving with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how much you know about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're thinking about like Vacation Bible School and the image of the Holy Spirit is a dove or, you know, gifts of the Holy Spirit that you got at confirmation. I still haven't gotten any gifts though. Like piety, I got a cake, but not piety. That was cheap. That was a cheap one. But we don't really know. We're like, I'm kind of like going to stay away from like that idea. One of the terms that we give to the Holy Spirit is water, the idea of water. That when the Holy Spirit's poured out on us as dry land, we can absorb that and we can be made new. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples at Pentecost. They're all waiting in this room. People who up to this point have been kind of timid and afraid, who had lived their faith in this quiet, sequestered environment. And the Holy Spirit falls upon this group of men, this group of 12 people. It falls upon this group that's waiting. And they are so overfilled with the Holy Spirit that they go out and they start to proclaim to the people in different languages, that people from their own languages can hear them. And this is what the scene looks like. In Acts chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" They were so insane that people looked at them and were like, they're drunk. They were so enamored and overfilled with the Spirit. People had never seen anything like it. And the only thing they could liken it to, that sort of like inebriation, intoxication, was the fact that they're drunk. And how could this be? See, the Holy Spirit, as that third person of the Trinity, pours forth and is generated from the love that God the Father has for all of eternity for God the Son. And their love is so strong that it generates this third person, the Holy Spirit. To encounter the Holy Spirit is literally to encounter the person of God that's generated from God's love. And what is it that you seek? What is it that you desire? Most of all, above anything, it's to be loved. Because you were created to love. You were created to be loved. And so we want that. And God's like, I want to pour that out on you. I want to pour my Holy Spirit out on you. And our response to this thirst that we have is God is like, I can satisfy that. I can satisfy that every day. I can satisfy that outside those doors. I don't have to satisfy that in this room. Is, not tomorrow. Maybe later. Maybe next year. And you will fail and you will die. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to call upon the Holy Spirit. You need to call upon that love of God that he would send the Holy Spirit to you so that you would not simply be fulfilled, but that you would overflow. See, here's the beautiful thing about this Pentecost story. Everybody went out and proclaimed in a language that everyone understood. We're 4,300 people strong. And we go to diverse places and diverse cultures and diverse families, and you can speak words into their life that will heal. You can overflow with the Spirit and take what has been given to you here and take it out there. Because a very small percentage of your life will be lived in here, and the Holy Spirit just doesn't exist in here. The Holy Spirit exists out there. I get that it's easier to do in here. It's easy to like cross clap and like pound on chairs and sing things and throw our hands up and then go out and be afraid to make the sign of the cross because all my friends are Baptist. It's easy to really live our faith in here and not live it out there because, well, I don't know if I'm going to have the right things to say. But look, I don't know if you're familiar with what's going on out there. Yeah, I'll fly back to Phoenix, but we all go back to a desert. You're going to go back to a world that's so broken by hatred and indifference and violence, by people who don't know what it's like to be loved, by people who need what you have. And our response is, tomorrow. I don't know that I'm ready. Look, there was a time when people could come to these youth conferences and we could say, like, go and just really kind of live your faith and grow a little bit. And those days are past. The message you've been given is far too important for you to stifle and to hold on to and to forget about. The living water that you've been given, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is desperately needed for a world outside of those doors. And if 12 people can convict and transform the world, can get up and transform the very culture, can fight against a Roman Empire that no one ever thought would fall, but falls, what could 4,300 do? Empowered by that Holy Spirit. What could 4,300 do in a world that is so longing for the love of God? And you know it. St. Peter gives this really cool speech after this. St. Peter's been timid and kind of afraid the whole time. And then he receives the Holy Spirit and he gives this really cool speech. Go back to Acts chapter 2 and read the whole thing. But this is the line I love the most, because this is our message in the banner that you bring. Peter gets up and proclaims, and his line, his last line of his speech is, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And you will go forward today and you will say, "Let my school know, let my town know, let my state know, let my country know that God has made Jesus Christ Lord, and this is sure. And what you seek can be found in him. And what you long for can be found in him. And I know because I've met him and I've seen him. And if you really believe what you sing, you are my joy, then you will go live that joy and it will be so palpable people will think you are drunk. You will say, I'm not drunk, but I'm filled with something else. I want you to know that. My friends, this is no longer a drill. This is not practice. This is not a test. This is not a run through. We're not exiting this burning building until we pull out as many souls as we possibly can, because that's your mission. And yes, there was a time 20 years ago when I could have said go and like learn a little bit, but you can't. You're missionaries now. And you have to be sent by the Holy Spirit in order to pour out that water on a world that so desperately needs it. Change is not impossible. Change is probable. Change is necessary, but it has to happen in here first. In just a couple minutes, we're going to ask for that Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that descended upon the disciples at Pentecost, that same Holy Spirit that caused these people who were in this upper room to go out and so radically change their world, not because they wanted to impose an authority, but because they wanted to liberate captives. You've been liberated. You've been set free. Now it's time to take some people with us, eh? This is not a drill. This is eternity. How blessed are we to be a part of this moment in history? We're going to ask for that Holy Spirit. We're going to ask to be sent out emboldened by that Spirit. And we're going to begin that prayer like right now. And that prayer is going to crescendo through Mass. We're going to be sent forth, empowered by the Spirit and the Eucharist. The Spirit we were given at baptism that was strengthened in confirmation and is sustained in these moments. So let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And just pray with me, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. You say that out loud even. Just come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. It's an ancient prayer to invite the Spirit into this place. Just come Holy Spirit. We are open. We are ready. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit.